This is Curtis Lum with the Advertiser, and this is Leadership Corner. And today we have Dr. Park, Head of Clinical Laboratories of Hawaii. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
I was looking at your biography, and you're born in Korea.
Yes.
And you came to Hawaii. Can you explain how you went from Korea, what brought you to especially Hilo, not so much Honolulu, but Hilo?
Right. I was born and raised in Korea, went to medical school in Yonsei University, Seoul, Korea. And that time, lots of students want to study further in the United States because medicine is more advanced in the U.S. than any other country. So I applied for internship in the U.S., accepted at the hospital in Erie, Pennsylvania, called the Hammond Hospital, H-A-M-O-T, which you will see in my biography. Mm-hmm. So I did the internship. I initially was going to be a urologist. Mm-hmm. So I did, with the permission from the chief of urology, 1 year general surgery, because you can do some surgery and then go urology. And during the surgical residency, I found my personality didn't fit to be a surgeon. So I decided to go into pathology. And so I did 2 years of pathology at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, Illinois, which you're going to see in this week. And they had a good program in anatomical pathology, but clinical pathology was weak. So after I searched for the program, at that time, Mayo Clinic had the best program, clinical pathology. So I went to Rochester, Minnesota, where they had a good clinical pathology program. I spent 2 years there. I had a very excellent training. And training was good, but the weather was horrendous. It was that particular year, we were there January. We were the coldest part in the whole country. With wind chill factor was minus 60 degrees. My wife had just a newborn baby, and she was totally stuck in the house. Mm-hmm. We are in the townhouse built by Mayo Foundation, and there was no neighbors. They all moved out that January. So she was totally isolated. We didn't have money to travel anywhere, and stuck there. And so he was very depressed with cold weather. So the snow started coming up. Pretty soon, it went over her kitchen windowsill. And we had the neighbors across the street, but we couldn't see them anymore. There was nobody visiting us. She couldn't visit anybody. One day, she got notice from mailman that unless we clean the sidewalk, they're not going to deliver any more mail. So they're really depressed. And the next year, summer came, and we got a new neighbor. That was Lois Kuge, K-U-G-E. She was the daughter of Dr. Mark Kuge, who is currently internist in town. And she was from Honolulu. Marilyn mentioned how cold this place is, you know, how difficult it is to live here. So Lois suggested, gee, if you don't like cold weather, move to Hawaii, you know. So she asked, are the people live there? Oh, yeah, people live in Hawaii, you know. I mean, those days, I'm talking about 70, you know, people didn't come to Hawaii that much. And unless you're very wealthy or something. So that night I came home, my wife said, you know, Lois said we should consider moving to Hawaii. And so I told her, you know, I looked at the CAP, College of American Pathologists, as listings of positions available. I saw a listing today, and there was a job available in Hawaii, you know. She said, oh, why don't you just apply, you know, and what's to lose? So I did apply, and that job was advertised by Dr. Paul Tamura, who I mentioned his name to you. So I applied the job, and turned out there was a position in Hilo, and the pathologist position. There was another pathologist there, senior pathologist, but she needed the help. And that lab was in the process of merging with his lab. He's the first one started a reference lab or commercial lab in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. This is like late 60s he started. And he was sort of expanding, and he was going to expand to Hilo. So Dr. Best, who was my former associate, was trying to merge with him. So he was actually recruiting for her. So that was why we ended up in Hilo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So more of the weather than anything else?
Yeah, weather is a primary factor.
So when you got to Hilo, what were the conditions or situation like for as far as in your field? Was there a lot of... it almost seems like there was a lack of...
What I found in Hilo was I was working as a pathologist in the Hilo Medical Center. Today we call Hilo Medical Center. And then my associate had a small private lab. And in the hospital, there was three instruments. None of them automated. And the procedures they're using, especially in the blood bank, were very antiquated. That dangerous practice, in a sense, was something that discontinued after World War II. You know, they're still using method that dangerous, you know. There was no procedure manuals or anything, you know, for blood bank. So I felt, after I talked to blood bank tech, looks like this place could use somebody who has a proper training. And I felt maybe I belong here, you know, because at the Mayo Clinic that time we had 1,500 doctors. They could very well do without me. I'm just one of nobody, you know, and every one of them very smart. Over there, looks like they need us, you know, I could do something. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, immediately I could start writing procedures, training people, you know, do new tests and things like that. So I felt maybe I belong here, you know. And then when she took me to her private lab, she had one employee and one instrument. And she was doing seeing six patients a day, okay, and then two tests, glucose and hemoglobin. That's the only test that she offered. So I asked, if you're a seventh patient, what happens? Or you have to wait next day to get the blood drawn. And then I asked them, what happens if the doctor wants some other test other than glucose? Well, we send to the mainland to Honolulu, you know. How long does it take? Anywhere 2 weeks to 4 weeks, or sometimes a couple months, you know. So those days, delivery and everything was very poor, no computers, nothing, you know. So what happens to the patients? I mean, if you wait 1 month, what happens to... We don't know. Patients usually get well or they die, or we have no idea what happens to patients. So doctor just files away a report. It doesn't help any treatment. So I said, wow, this is something that needs to be changed, you know. So I accepted the job offer and went over. And then what happened is Dr. Tamura's group, after they sent three CPAs to look over the business, Dr. Tamura sold this business to Bioscience Laboratory from California, and they took over, and then they sent their three CPAs to check the Hilo business. This is before I came. Mm-hmm. And they found that she wasn't making enough money for them to be worthwhile to go, because she wasn't running that many tests. So they decided not to buy her business. So I got a panic letter from both Dr. Tamura and Dr. Best that, you know, the merger isn't going to happen, but we still need you. You need to still come. So at that point, it was like almost April, and I was supposed to leave May. I couldn't do anything, so I decided to come anyway. You know, I thought that there was an opportunity. Yeah. So I came and then started from really nothing, basically. Mm. So what I did was hospitals were run by state of Hawaii was running the hospital, and then they really didn't understand how the laboratory should run. So they had like a budget, annual budget for the lab equipment, like $2,000. And there was not any single equipment I can buy. The cheapest one is glucose analyzer at that time by Beckman, $2,200. Mm. I couldn't even buy the machine. So only way I could do something is expanding through your private lab, you know, private lab. So I made my first 10-year plan. I figured I need to support this lab from my hospital income And I figured that since I don't have any credit to the bank or something, I'm going to need about 10 years to get the whole island together. So my vision was if I work hard in 10 years, I could get the big island all together as one operating unit, because a big island is a very large island, very scarce in population some areas, only 1,000 people. But every area needs modern medical care, modern laboratory medicine to give proper diagnosis. So I figured the only way I could accomplish that is by our private company provide that service, since state couldn't do it. So how do I do it? I have to make an investment, you know, just borrow money and just do it. So that time, to give you an idea, I had, how much time do we have this morning before I talk too much?
Oh, no, keep going, keep going.
When I bought the first house in Hilo, 1971, there was only 5 houses available in Thai market, and the house we bought cost $55,000. I mean, today's value doesn't look much, but that was so much more money than I was prepared to pay, because in Rochester, $35,000, I can buy a mansion, you know. Over here, $55,000 is just very ordinary house. And since I didn't have money, I had to have 3 mortgages to buy that house. And because there was a longshoreman strike, or our container got broken, and our refrigerator wasn't working, or her, you know, sewing machine cut into pieces. We had to buy everything, you know. So we're really kind of flat broke at that point. But we need to buy lab instrument, because some of the new doctors we had in town asked me, when are you going to bring some new machine so we can order test? Because you're not offering any service for us, you know. So I kind of felt bad. I convinced my partner we got to invest the new equipment. And the first equipment we decided to buy was Coulter counter, C-O-U-L-T-E-R. That's a hematology counter that's doing blood count, you know. And that machine costed $55,000, same amount as our house. And my partner didn't want to buy. She was very reluctant. We will never be able to afford it. Took me 6 months to convince her we got to buy that machine. And I bought it, and I went to Miami to get training and stuff. And I asked the salesman. He felt sorry because he knows we didn't have money. So he gave me 6 months of reagents free, you know. However, he asked me something interesting. He asked me, can I be able to invest in your company? He must be seeing something, you know. So I told him, you know, unfortunately, our company was a professional corporation, so you have to be a doctor to be investor. You cannot own stock unless you're a doctor. So anyway, I've been with that company ever since. I've supported them all these years. What he did was he gave me 6 months of reagents free. He figured that you cannot afford it. I'll give you these reagents free. You know, so I've been stuck with his company. After even retired, I'm still with that company helping them. Anyway, so I asked him, how many tests do I run to break even on this test? You have to have 20 samples a day, you know, to be able to pay for it. So first day I came home, my wife asked me, how many samples did you get today? 2. It was like that for 2 years before I reached the 20 samples, you know. And then when I look over our business, it took exactly 10 years before I got the whole Big Island together at the level of a service that I felt comparable to main and first class laboratory operation. I was able to pull together in 10 years. So I developed system.
It's all the hospitals and clinics?
Through
and
the private labs. And we had a courier system, and then also I introduced computer, and I developed network so that the test is done either Kona or Hilo, and then we're able to bring the samples to couriers, and they get the report the same day, you know, instead of waiting like 2 weeks, you know. And I was able to do that in 10 years.
So I guess doctors there, they knew that there was a need for
yeah. Yeah. So when I first came, I visited all the doctors, told them, look, you guys wanted me to buy instrument. I'm going to go ahead and mortgage to the health, I'll buy the machine. Would you support me? He said, yeah, we'll give you all the work. You go ahead and do investment. And there was 8 doctors in Nino those days. So I visited all the 8 doctors. They told me, I'll get 100% their work. And up to the point they retired, every one of them, they supported me. So all doctors in Hilo still, they are very loyal because they know what we went through, you know. So that's the way we started in Hilo. We got the Big Island together in 10 years. And then Hunaka lost their sole technologist in 79, and state employee, because he was covering 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for 365 days. He got burned out. So after he worked like 15 years, he just decided to move someplace else. So they didn't have any tech to cover. So state asked us to cover the service, because what happened is they've been hiring somebody from Honolulu every week, different techs flying every week. And the results were all over the place, because they weren't familiar with the lab equipment or tests. So they just ran whatever they could. And one morning, the calcium results were normal, and then afternoon is a half. So I get the call from neurologist, how this baby could survive with calcium level only 5. You're supposed to be 10, you know, you're supposed to have tetany with that low calcium. So they didn't trust the results, so I had to repeat the test at our private lab at the Luis Enriquez. We had a private lab. And turned out the tech didn't multiply by times 2. Was normal, but supposed to be 10 instead of 5. You know. So this kind of thing is happening every day. So the Medicare got the window with, they told the hospital, unless you have full-time tech, we want to decertify the hospital. So that you don't get any payment, not only with lab, but the whole hospital. So we got the mandate from Deputy Director of Health that since you have a Hilo Medical Center contract as a pathologist, as a lab director, you need to provide service at the Honaka, period. So we had an internal discussion. We had 3 pathologists and we took a vote whether we should do this or not. We know we're going to lose lots of money if we go Honaka, because there's no volume. I have to provide a number of tests. So there are 2 younger pathologists voted for, and then 1 older pathologist decided against it. It's a losing proposition. So it's in the board record, it shows 2-1, you know, we voted. So we did provide the service, and turned out we had to have 3 people. It was to cover 3 ships. I need 3 techs, but only not even enough for 1 tech. So the service really was good, but I lost the first year $50,000. And we never recovered the money. I mean, you know, always losing money. But a year later, in Kona, they built a brand new facility, and they didn't have enough techs. They only had 3 techs. 1 tech has psychiatric problems, so he walked off from the job. The other tech was not qualified tech from California that grandfathered, you know, when he got the license. So he couldn't perform the test properly. And the third tech is the only one who could do the test. So the hospital was so swamped, they couldn't run it properly. So the administrator and the executive office of state asked me, I know you have a private lab in Kona. Can you sort of loan us your tech, you know? So I closed down my private lab, because hospital labs are more important. I loaned them. We had a 1-page agreement, okay. We'll reimburse you salary and the fringe benefits. Salary at that time was $11 per hour, fringe benefits were $2. So we'll pay you $13 for every hour they put in. You just submit the bill each month, you know. So we started working like that, just to purely help out the hospital. The lab was so poorly funded that they didn't even have money to get the blood products and stuff. They had to borrow from Hilo to operate on somebody frequently. And so he started 1 tech, pretty soon ended up 3, 6, eventually ended up with 9 techs I have to hire. And you know what happened? State found that they didn't budget this. So they couldn't pay me. And each service, they have to have a budget. You know, state has a biennial budget. Takes 2 years to, you know, prepare and whatnot. It's 2-year cycle. Since they didn't realize that they didn't put this in the budget, they couldn't pay me. So I keep on going bank to borrow money to pay, to meet the payroll for the rest of the company, because we're a very small company those days. And I had to go bank 3 times to borrow money to meet the payrolls. And after 9 months, after they couldn't pay me for 9 months, I never complained to anybody. I just, you know, trying to work out internally. The executive officer called me one day, tomorrow you take over the hospital. We couldn't do it anymore. You run it, you know, just like you did in Honaka, because they know we did a good job in Honaka. That's how we got into Honaka and the Kona, and eventually ended up getting all the hospitals on the Big Island because they found service was so much better and they didn't have all this headache.
You get paid for the back?
Eventually, it took about a year and a half or something. They, you know, had to budget again, and you know, we got paid eventually. You know.
So you pretty much had the Big Island on the
at
control.
That point, yeah.
What made you take the leap off?
After I learned, it took me 10 years to really learn the business and learn how to provide a good service for the hospital. I became sort of like an expert in running the hospital lab service, and then also integrate the hospital service with the outreach commercial lab service. And so I developed all this experience. And then in the 80s, there was an opportunity to buy a small lab in Maui. So we bought a small lab in Maui. We moved there, 88. And then the Maui Memorial got into lots of difficulty. They lost a lot of techs. They used to have 16 people, ended up with only 8 techs. So most of people were pulling double shifts to cover 3 shifts here. And they were all overworked, and the morale was bad, and the hospital was really in bad shape. They were about to lose JCO, Joint Commission accreditation, because the lab was so poorly run that time. So the state put out for RFP that time for service, and we won RFP, so we got into Maui. And then it took us about 2 years to get the whole island together, because we had enough experience from Big Island, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then Oahu, would that be the biggest leap?
Yeah, so at the in 90, there was a small lab available in Honolulu, so I bought the lab. Then we are staying small operation. In 93, we were able to work out a joint venture agreement with St. Francis to run their medical office building. St. Francis had a drawing station, but what happened is their test is run at the hospital, and then they're reporting to the doctors, but they didn't have a separate employee to deliver the report. So reports are sitting on the printer and doesn't get delivered until next day. So there are other commercial labs in town able to give a report faster, so doctors were giving out the work. So they lost most of their business. They used to have 100% business. When they asked us to go joint venture, their business went down to 30%. So we started the joint venture in 1993, and then I hired 3 additional help, and we were able to give a report within an hour. I had a lab set up there. So doctors started giving us all the work. In 3 months, we were getting about 90% of the work from the same building. I mean, I turned around. So the hospital was very happy with the service. And in 95, we were able to get joint venture, St. Francis and the Kapiolani Health System at that time. We got into 3-way joint venture to run the Wahoo lab operations. So that's where we developed a pretty big operation. Mm-hmm.
So what percent, do you know what percent of the lab work your company does?
Right now, I would think the inpatient lab market outside of you know, Triple and Kaiser, we run about 60% of all the inpatient lab service. We're running 14 hospital labs right now, so that represents about 60% of total available bed in the state. The outpatient markets, we are probably about 50%, I would think.
Yeah. 50.
Yeah. Mm. So we have more inpatient market. Mm-hmm.
Just the business alone, not understanding anything about medicine. Right? What are the even today, you've grown to the point where you know you're doing good. Doing well. Are there still challenges that you face every day as far as keeping things going? Or what are the challenges?
The main challenge is getting qualified employees, the technology area. There is a national shortage of statewide as well as national shortage of medical technologists, technicians, laboratory assistants. All these categories, there is nationwide shortage. Because to give you an example, old days we used to have, there is a school called the Medical Technology School. It's part of UH program. Yeah, you need a BS degree and then you can get the technology degree. Used to have about 30 to 40 students graduate each year. Right now, we only have like about 5 students graduating each year. So it's not enough to support all the operations in Hawaii right now. The reason is because of the scale of the hepatitis and the AIDS, people don't want to draw blood and stuff.
Really?
You know, they don't want to go into field. And then compared to, say, nursing or some other engineering field, the salary they don't think is competitive to other risky area, you know. Considering risk involved, they don't think a reward justify what they're getting. So there are less and less number of young people are going into the field. So we have that real serious shortage of tech. So we are participating with UH in the internship program, and then also we have in-house full-time educator, 2 full-time medical technologists training these young people in-house. We have constant school going, all different levels.
Are you fully staffed, or you, like, or is the shortage affecting?
Well, we have a shortage of staff. I think we are about, in the medical technology field, we are about, you know, 30, 40 people short.
Wow.
You know, 10 men short. Pretty big shortage. And every hospital I know is a short. We're not the only one. So we constantly recruit.
This could be your recruiting tool too then.
Yeah.
You got jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People always looking for work.
And also, I don't know, we have mentioned, but 97 we had a chance to do business in Colorado, in Denver. We started a joint venture with the hospital group there in 97. So we are running 5 hospital labs in Denver. Pretty good sized hospitals, and it was very successful. Hospital was very happy with the arrangement with us, but since I had to run both Hawaii and Denver business, I couldn't keep up because I was traveling all the time, and then I couldn't handle any more pressure. So we offered for sale. So I sold it year 2001, just before 9/11. So we got out, but we gained a lot of experience through that. I developed the second largest lab in Colorado from that experience.
Was it a moneymaker?
Yes, was very profitable. It even helped Hawaii operation because of the volume. We were able to reduce our Hawaii cost also.
Was it the snow?
Oh, yeah, lots of snow.
It brought you back, maybe?
Yeah, the thing is, in Denver, is weather is unpredictable. In October, you could have snowstorm.
A friend of mine lives in Colorado.
Oh, okay. It's a good place, but weather is very unpredictable.
Yeah, she said this past summer, they had 100 degree temperatures.
Yeah. You have to listen to weather channel all the time. Because the weather could change your... you know, I think one summer they had like a hail in the summer, you know. You know what I mean? So you never know. You got to listen to radio, the weather channel all the time. People pay great attention to weather.
Not like here.
Not like here.
About the wind,
every day.
Yeah. Dress the same every day here. Yeah.
Once in a while, I guess off ever, you have water spouts once in a while. I guess that's the only thing you got to worry about. What about... technology, do you have to constantly keep up with that?
Yes. We are really keeping up with new technology. The future of the technology is more of a molecular genomics area, as you are familiar testing. So we are really putting big emphasis in this area. Every month we are introducing some new tests that community and physicians need, instead of sending out to the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're really developing the molecular area.
So you just can't sit back and work with what you got. You got to always
right.
look.
The other area we are also investing heavily is automation for the laboratory. We have some degree of automation, but we want to go total automation using like a robotics, technology. And there are a number of systems out there, but none of them has been working that good. In some ways make it worse. So we've been really studying and taking time, and we think we found one in Michigan, so a couple of our managers want to check it out next month.
If I can bring it back just to layman terms for you, it's kind of like computer technology, the clinical technologies that we bring in. Now they say computers are only good for maybe 3 to 5 years max. I don't even think they say 5 anymore. I think it's 2 to 3 now. That's really the lifespan of a lot of instruments. And it's basically because of technology, because technology becomes so advanced.
Mm-hmm.
The detection of the analyzer improves, so the sensitivity and the specificity is what we as laboratorians look at when we bring in technologies. Is your test 100% accurate, or is it 90%? We always want to get to the 100%, and then beyond there, can we detect things quicker and faster? That's what the doctors want. In the old days, as Dr. Park mentioned, a lot was sent out to mainland laboratories, either because number one, it was too specialized and you need a special laboratory to run it, or a special type of trained technician, or number two, volume was just really low and you just couldn't justify bringing it in. But what Dr. Park has been able to do is make a real commitment towards bringing new testing here, so that there is not that turnaround time, that delay, because some of them are life-threatening. And if they're not life-threatening, if you go to the doctor and you might have strep, just as an example, you're sitting there going, do I have strep? Should I go to work? Should I not go to work? There's all these anxieties going on. So the faster we can turn around a test here, and if we can do it locally, the better it is for you, not just physically, but emotionally as well. So technology changes very, very quickly in this field.
Are there any tests that still need to be sent out to the mainland, or everything can be done?
Well, no, there is not any single laboratory in the country that does everything in-house. Because there are 2,000 tests, you cannot possibly set up everything in-house. So even the Mayo Clinic Lab, even Quest Diagnostics, as large as they are, they send some tests to other labs because everybody has different specialty.
Mm-hmm.
So we have set up very extensive menu, but certain tests we just don't have volume or expertise, so we do send out. But that's a very small portion of our total. I would say about 1%, 1 or 2% of our total.
Very small. And again, as Dr. Park said, it's because if it's a low volume test and it's very specialized, you want it to go to a lab that only runs this test, so that if there's any abnormality, they're going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just running that one or two tests a year, and you're not used to running it, it's kind of like riding a bike. People say you never forget, but you do, and you're not used to the. Yeah.
You need somebody who's doing every day,
So still, even though you're sending out something, you still need to, sounds like there's a lot of capital that needs to be invested in the company to get...
All the time to keep up.
Yes, keep up. Even though we bring a system on that we think is the best today, next year another vendor's going to come out and say, this is even more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
This can detect a thyroid problem months before the patient even feels... tired or lethargic or has swollen glands, so you're picking it up even quicker. Yeah. And anytime, by the time something reaches the news and it's popular amongst the media, it's already been detected. So we've already started cranking it up, and that just pushed the volume up even more. But it's a good thing, it's just about bringing good healthcare here to Hawaii. Mm. Yeah.
Do you still... Are you more administrative or all administrative now, or do you still get your hands dirty and
go down to the lab to do
I still get the pulse of what's happening, talking to the doctors and what they need. And I'm looking at from not necessarily like a conventional way of pathologist. I used to do autopsies, called to testify, cut the surgical specimens, help out of interpreting blood tests. I used to do that, but I don't do that as much. But I'm involved in developing new tests as well as listening to the doctors what their needs are for the future. That part I still continue.
So you started it with just yourself and your partner. And how many employees do you have now?
We have 900 employees.
It's all still in Hawaii because they don't come.
Yeah, we sold the Denver operation. And also we had a lab in Singapore, which we sold. And I had also lab Guam, which we cut out because it was a very small market. You know. And the reason I had all other areas was early on I found since the government and the insurance companies continue to reduce reimbursement, instead of keeping up with inflation, only way to survive is you got to increase your volume. Then your unit cost goes down from business point of view. Mm-hmm. So I decided to grow so that to survive. Mm-hmm. And during the process, lots of labs went under last 10 years. We used to have like 10,000 labs in the country. Right now, there are only 2,000-3,000 labs because most labs couldn't make it. So you have to get the larger to be able to make it financially.
It's purely volume?
Yes, volume related, and the good management, of course.
So you have, how many labs do you have? I mean, you're not just here, right?
Yeah, we have over 70 locations throughout the state. They are not all testing laboratory. Many of them are drawing the blood and whatnot, but actual testing laboratories, I think about 14 locations actually doing testing. Blood testing. It's similar like you're going to see down here. So it's a very comprehensive, all kind of instruments there, computerized, that kind of lab. Because of, you know, being islands, you cannot send everything out to one location or another. They have to be independent. Like Kauai, we run Wilcox lab. In the big island, we run like Hilo Medical Center, Kona Community Hospital, North Hawaii, Kau, Kohala. We have to have a lab there, each location. Yeah. Same thing in Maui, we run Maui Memorial, Kula, we run those labs.
I would guess in this line of business, especially your reputation is very important.
Yes.
Accuracy
is
very important.
Yes. We have four or five different federal and state agencies check our quality of work, and they send you unknown samples and check. And they call a CLIA license, Clinical Lab Improvement Act. So they give you a license depending on your performance and stuff. So there are lots of agencies to monitor. And we always come out almost close to perfect in all the tests we do. So if you don't meet, then you lose license.
But that's another challenge for you then?
Yes, to keep up, meet all the, you know, requirement and stuff.
That means having people under you who are
Doing a good job. Because what happens is when the JCAA, Joint Commission for Accreditation for Hospital, when they come, laboratory is part of that inspection. If laboratory fails, hospital could lose their own accreditation. So we're a very important part of the overall hospital operation.
Would the hospital operation affect you, though? I mean, in
yes, we affect each other. Oh, okay. Yeah, if the hospital loses accreditation, we may not get paid for our work from Medicare either. So each affect, you know, survival.
Do you have a business philosophy or a philosophy, just life philosophy? Or
my philosophy, I learned the person that I admired most is, his name is Byung-Chul Lee. Last name is Lee, L-E-E, Byung-Chul, B-Y-U-N-G-C-H-U-L, Byung-Chul Lee. He was a founder of Samsung Corporation. And I read his personal biography, and that really made a big impression on me. And his guiding principle was reading Confucian book, Analects. That's one of his most famous book that Confucius wrote, Analects. He learned his philosophy from reading Chinese classics. And then I followed his model, how to deal with employees. And if you read his biography, what he says is, it's important to spend time and get good employees. So he spends sometimes several days to pick one good employee. He eats with them sometimes, spends whole day or several days, really observe the person, check the person out, and then he pick a good employee. And then once they're employed, he treat them like his own family. That's Confucian culture. His head of the company is like a father figure. They're all in the family. And that's the kind of philosophy he has. It's quite different from Western culture. Everybody's watching each other and suspicious, and I don't deal like that with my employees. I'm more like a, kind of fatherly figure or a brotherly figure. It's all working together for the same goal, trying to promote healthcare for the state, So in the same mission, in a sense. So we're in the team. So I treat everybody like that kind of expanded family, and we're very close, even executives, employees, very close company we call Ohana, for our company,
When you got into medicine, especially when you were freezing in snow, did you ever envision being this, doing this right here?
No, I never had any, I had not the focused idea, I'm going to do this, no.
You just wanted to be a doctor?
Yeah. It just happens, because we started so kind of a adverse situation when I started in Hilo. It was so much backward. Between Mayo Clinic and Hilo, there was a 20-year span of medicine. Mayo Clinic was 10 years ahead. Hilo was minimum 10 years behind. So I saw 20-year gap, and trying to, overcome that, it took tremendous effort because I didn't have anybody supporting us or money. Mm-hmm. So I just did it all on my own.
And you had your 10-year vision, but was there any point where you go, this place is so far behind, I don't have money, I don't have the means. Was there any point where you just thought maybe you should have stayed in the snow? Or
there was a few times I had have self-doubt whether my plan's going to ever work. You know how I knew my plan worked? Because one time, Kenny Brown, who was chairman of the Queens, visited Hilo. And then I sort of gave him a tour, and he saw our lab, and he was totally shocked. He didn't expect the kind of lab he saw at the Hilo Medical Center. Actually, to be honest with you, we are more advanced than Queens lab that time. Mm. This is late 80s. So he was so shocked, so he said, how did you do this? All this lab, I mean, he's totally shocked, because he expected to see some really third world kind of lab approach. Mm-hmm. So I told him, well, let me tell you, took me lots of sleepless night to be able to borrow money and take a chance, because there's nobody else go to, And one of the nights when I first started, I started writing my plans on the, just blank paper, And I wrote my 10-year plan, I guess. And then I never read it. Hmm. After many years later, and then I reread it, I found I was missed by 6 months. Hmm. Instead of exact 10 years, took 10 years, 6 months before I got the whole island together. So it took lots of thinking, planning, and taking a chance. But I believed in. I was trained to provide the best possible service. That's why I was trained at the Mayo Clinic. I learned a lot from working there. Yeah? And, if they can do it in such a small town, cornfield in Minnesota, middle of nowhere, I could certainly do it in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's next for you? 65 years old, you look good shape. What's next? What's your next 10 years?
You know, my daughter is working with me. She's our chief operating officer. She has she's a graduate of Hill High School, went to Harvard undergraduate. And then she was going to study Korean studies, so she went to Berkeley, got a master's in Asian studies. She was teaching there. And then, well, she found the field is too narrow, so decided to get the JD MBA she got from Cornell. Worked with a big company called the MBIA in New York, restructuring mostly healthcare hospital business because they're insuring hospitals. And working like 70 hours a week, and my wife thought, gee, we could use somebody like her, you know. And I was very reluctant how it's going to work out between family. So one Christmas vacation, she came, I interviewed her. And, you know, it looks like she's promising, so we hired her. And, I really had to hire her just like anybody else, you know. And if it doesn't work out, she says she'll leave, but, you know, no bad feeling, you know. She really exceeded my expectations, all my expectations, because with her different professional background, I came from totally pathology background without outside business experience. Whatever I learned on my own. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any teacher, you know. So I learned kind of hard ways, but she learned from professional school and then from working on the big company, the Wall Street company. So her views are a little different. Also, she has a legal background as well. So, when she got JD MBA, I think she's really using that to the full, you know. So, I found that her views are very refreshing, and some of the ideas I would have never thought about. So, I have a different respect for her, and then I let her do lots of day-to-day stuff she's running mm-hmm. right now. You know. So, I think, you know, she'll take over the company in the future, and then I'll support her, you know. When that's going to happen, we're sort of in the transition, right, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. working together.
And what are you going to do in retirement or semi-retirement?
I think I'll probably be more and more involved in the molecular testing area. A little premature to announce, but I am working with a company based in California doing molecular testing. I am one of the founders of the company, and they're going to be working with our clinical lab doing their clinical trials and some of the tests. They have developed a new platform with new technology that partly they got it through Toshiba Corporation in Japan. And his company called Antara. And so I might be more involved in working with that area.
In other words, he's going to keep working.
Yeah, so I was saying, no such thing as retirement.
work and a little bit of golf, maybe.
Yeah, I started playing golf, and that's harder than running lap, for sure.
Well, it's more frustrating.
Yeah, because I started so late, you know. And I see all these youngsters sitting so much better than me. I get very frustrated. It's a real challenge for me personally.
I played for a little while, and it was just...
It's very hard.
You know, you play, especially when you play in front of you, there are maybe women or older people.
Yeah, they hit so much
they
better.
They can hit straight.
Yeah.
They don't hit too far,
yeah.
But they'll hit straight.
Yeah, that's the key. Not the distance, but if you go wrong side, distance doesn't help you at all. Yeah. It's a tough game. I'm learning, I'm very competitive. Once I start something, I don't want to be too far behind. So I've been killing myself, trying to get better. See, we're having a company tournament in a week or two.
Next weekend.
So my daughter set this up, and this is about second year, third year. Participating. First year when she asked me, I never played golf, see. So was just showed up, you know. It was pretty bad. So trying to get better, but in trying, I was hurting myself. Shoulder pains and arm pains, and I had to physical therapy because I was just getting wrecking my body. So I find it's a real personal challenge trying to be even average golfer. You know.
Hopefully you have as much luck in college you did in your business.
I doubt that. I started too late. Business, I think one thing I learned, I started so early, and I didn't have any choice. When I was hired by my partner, the merger didn't work out, you know. The first day she told me, look, I have no interest in clinical pathology, which is running the blood test side. I have no interest in that lab side. I have no interest in business. It's all yours. I'm only interested in reading slide.
Mm.
And a typical pathologist. Mm. So she doesn't meet anybody, just stay home, I mean, in the office and just read slide. I have to go out, talk to the people, give seminars to the doctors, out in, you know, teach them new tests and whatnot. The first year, just without adding any single people or equipment, our volume increased by 4 times in the lab because of my involvement. And, you know, that's what I did. I had doctors all lined up in my office every morning asking me about tests. And also, frequently they ask me to go see their patients on the floor. I read the chart and, you know, whatnot. So my wife, interesting episode. When I first went, nobody consulted me because I was younger, 30 years old, looked like a high school student. They said, look so young, what would he know, you know? So nobody came to talk to me in the beginning. So her point was, you know why people don't come to you? Because you don't charge anybody when they ask your opinion. So you got to charge, you know, then they respect you. So they did make me consultations. So I went to see a patient and I wrote the report and I told them what to do, you know, because I, when I was mayor, I see lots of actual patients with hematology rounds and stuff. So I made diagnosis what to be done and even treatment I suggested to the doctor. So she asked me, so did you have a consultation? Yeah. So did you charge? No, patient didn't have any insurance. That was the extent of my charging. I never charged anybody for my consultation. Always go there, you know, do the exam, and then I make a report, but I never charged anybody for that. But I had a lot of fun seeing so many doctors, they need help, because Hilo used to have just general practitioners earlier days. They didn't have any specialists, no hematologists. We only like two internists in the whole town. They're all general practitioners, average age 55, never been out of town, never been doing any CME, you know what I mean? So it was a very different place.
We're only talking 30
over 35 years.
It's not like it's in the 40s or 30s.
Yeah, it's like that, however. And so I had to really bring them up. And eventually, they were able to understand some new tests. And, you know, we were able to give up seminars, conferences weekly almost, you know, help them out.
Well, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, that okay. Anyway, well, thank you for your time today.
Well,
very interesting.
You. And listening, yeah.
Yeah, good luck in your golf.
Yes. That's challenging now.
Okay.